Tom. Coming up, just when you thought he'd retired, just when you thought he'd, you know, put his golf sticks in the back of the car more often and play a couple of rounds of golf, just when you thought he'd given all that he had and now he just wants to chill. Nah, you can't accuse Bona Mohale of doing that. You know what? He's now the chair of the Bidvest Group. So he doesn't stop. And he's going to talk to you about Ntata Maponya, who passed away. Richard Maponya, what a legend in business. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to find a story that inspires you, this is one you want to listen to. I'll chat to Bona Mohale next.
It's summer.
You're with Cape Talk.
And a very good morning to you. Now, you would have heard the news, right? It was all over the place. All over the place. Dr. Richard Maponya. An entrepreneur, man who built a business empire in the midst of apartheid, you know, relying on white people in the process to help him build this, but a man whose legacy looms large in Soweto as well. And it's just one of many things that he's done, not just to enrich himself and his family, but to deliver impact for those around him. If you've never been to Maponya Mall, then you haven't seen a mall. I was fortunate enough to obviously broadcast in Gauteng for close to a decade, and we spent many a time in Soweto at Maponya Mall, and what a legacy he has left. But I'm not here to tell his story. As a matter of fact, we'll introduce you to someone who knows that story a lot better than most of us. The chairperson of the Bidvest Group, Bona Mohale, former chairman of Shell. He was then at Business Leadership South Africa, the CEO. You don't stop, do you? Good morning.
Compliments of the new year, Chino, and your listeners, and thank you for having me.
It's great having you, Bona, and congratulations on your latest appointment, man. It's we never want to see people like you retire. You add such great value in the business realm.
I must tell you, I'm humbled beyond words because Bidvest saw it fit to appoint me as a non-executive director onto their board on the 1st of July. And as luck would have it, on the 29th of November, all the directors then elected to make me their chairman with immediate effect. I must tell you, it was a very humbling experience indeed. And now I have the privilege, with their help and support, to lead the board and not the enterprise.
Well, there you go. I see, Boranga, it's got nothing to do with luck. It's got to do with the luck you've made for yourself, the legacy you've left, and the confidence that people have in you. And I think that is why you're the chairman of the board.
My brother, you're too kind. And thank you for the warm words of encouragement, as always.
Now, let's talk about Ntata Maponya. The story. I love telling stories, Boranga. I know you do too. You've written a beautiful book about, you know, paying it forward to people, making sure that you lift as you rise. But let's tell the story of Dr. Maponya.
In fact, this is truly an extraordinary story, almost akin to the Rockefellers of the US of A, the Bill Gates of this world, because this is an entrepreneur extraordinaire, a visionary, a doer, a pragmatist, an amazing leader, an entrepreneur. And when I think of him, I remember him when he was chosen by the former president, Rolihlahla Nelson Mandela, to drive him around in his own BMW upon his release from prison.
Yes.
But we also thank him for having accepted to be the very first president of NAFCOC. This 55-year-old, and it also happens to be the oldest black business organization in this country, that was co-founded with other giants like Reverend Bishop Joe Hlongwane, Dr. Sam Motsuenyane, and Dr. Achim Konyeni, who went on to become presidents themselves in that order in succeeding him. But here's a person who gave us many firsts, the first African to own horses, the first African to open a dairy in Soweto selling milk, the first African who deemed it fit to open a supermarket, in Soweto, in Tefeni, and then went on to hold on to a piece of land for 27 years without developing it, and then built the Maponya Mall that you're referring to, an 80,000 square meter, one of the biggest out of the five malls that are now found in Soweto. It is only a testament to his entrepreneurial spirit. And for me, he is a man who personifies resilience, having, again, been in the forefront, together with NAFCOC, in creating a black-owned, black-run, and black-managed bank called African Bank. And again, it took them 20 years to raise a meager 1 million rand, and they were writing the names of the people who were investors on a black notebook, the ones akin to the ones we used in school.
Yeah.
And 1975, we then had a black bank. 1995, the government, the apartheid government, sees it fit to introduce this notion of capital adequacy requirement, and therefore it needs to be recapitalized, and they were forced to sell. 1995, they sell. He takes all the money. He goes back to every single solitary one of the people that invested. He gives them the initial investment with interest and the proceeds from the sale. Up until today, we cannot trace a single cent into his pocket through corruption. I mean, what an amazing example.
Indeed.
So, my brother, I was finishing reading a book called A Legacy of Perseverance, the story of NAFCOC, 50 years of leadership in business, authored by Professor Kandiwe Konso. And for me, it simply is a continuation of what Dr. Maponya and NAFCOC were doing.
Yes.
Because here's an organization that deemed it fit to organize about 400 minibus taxis to ferry the supporters of SWAPO during the 1989 general elections in Namibia. They organized, among others, both accommodation and transport for some of our current political leaders who were returning back to the country from exile in the early 1990s. But the origins of black economic empowerment can be traced back to both the NAFCOC's Resolution 3456 and the Black Management Forum's Basutu Head Formula as a blueprint for an inclusive economic transformation.
Yep.
The establishment of a fully-fledged Ministry of Small Business Development can be traced back to how they agitated and orchestrated for the establishment of this, because they understood that jobs are created by SMEs in small numbers. Back to you, Kino.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I mean, you know, we live in a world where it's popular for the wokes to stand up and tell us how bad white people are. I mean, we hear it all the time, right? But if you look at Ntate Maponya's life, I mean, he started out as a teacher. He took a job as a stock taker at a clothing maker. He won a promotion for both himself and his white manager. And in gratitude, the manager, and I remember him telling me the story when I interviewed him a couple of years ago on 702. The manager sold him the soiled clothing and the offcuts, which he then resold in Soweto. And over the years, because a black person could not own land in South Africa, he worked with other white people to help build this legacy that he has. And I just think the juxtaposition of that to where we are now, where we're so divided as a country, and obviously we were much more divided then because it was in the middle of apartheid, but I'm just talking about the mindset today. It's a very interesting story from that perspective as well.
You know, Kino, you hit the nail on the head, my brother. The power, the force, the impetus behind this Maponya conglomerate and empire was Mrs. Marina Maponya, the technocrat, the organizer, the executor. Ntate Maponya was the dreamer, was the visionary. He would go and make the deals. He went to Atlanta to negotiate with Coca-Cola during the divestiture pressures, that when you want to take your business out of South Africa, you'll hurt mostly the black people. Sell it to some of these black people who have been your customers for years. And Mrs. Marina Maponya stayed and ran the businesses. He had the first dealership of Shell in Soweto, which he owned. The first dealership of Toyota selling brand new cars he owned. He had the first black dealership of BMWs. That's why Rolihlahla Nelson Mandela, former president, felt compelled to say, I trust this man with my life. I want you to be the one that drives me when I get out of prison. But Kino, here's something that I've always remembered Dr. Maponya by, is that even though he was working so hard, he always invested time, energy, and effort to share with others. In November, a month before his birthday, 99th birthday, on the 24th of December, he called some of us and he wants to talk about the Academy for Entrepreneurship. He already has a School of Enterprise with the University of Johannesburg. But such is the obsession of this leader that he still wants to impart the little that he has learned. But this is how we have known him fondly and remember him, because he used to provide the philosophical and ideological foundations for black business. They formed regions, not according to apartheid and ethnicity, but according to the four provinces, right up until 1985. And he taught us what needs to manifest in this notion called leadership, because the best amongst us lead with the heart of a servant. He taught us how to deal with divisions and how to build unity in black organizations, because you know that is one of the biggest challenges when everybody wants to be the chief and nobody wants to do the hard work and indeed the slog. He delivered numerous projects and successes. Here's his expression when he told us how he was dealing with the frustrations, the closed doors, and the nose of apartheid at that time. And he coined the phrase, riding the tiger of apartheid, using them to achieve what you want. He was the interface and the relations with the People's Liberation Movement during the apartheid years. That's why when he ended up buying his first racing horse, he ended up having 14 to 17. The colors that he chose were the ANC colors at that time. But also he used to articulate very cogently the challenges of business unity in post-apartheid South Africa, long before we even knew that the ANC would be unbanned and Mandela would be released from Robben Island after being kept in Victor Verster prison. Lastly, he gave us many economic policies, from negotiations to the advent of democracy, in preparation for one day when we do become free. He used to talk about NAFCOC today and the NAFCOC of tomorrow. Such was his vision.
Wow. Boda Mahali, you're a busy man. You've given us a lot of your time. We really appreciate that. And thank you very much for talking to us about Ntate Maponya. Really, really, really insightful.